Good morning. Good to see you here today. Happy Valentine's Day. You did know that, right? That today is a Valentine's Day. I've invited my sweetie up to help me wish all of you a happy Valentine's Day. Arlene and I came back home yesterday, back to Antarctica. It was so weird. You know, we'd been in 85 degree weather for 10 days, and you get home and get off the plane, and it's 3 degrees. Here, and it was quite a shock to come back home. But listen, I say this from the bottom of my heart: it's good to be home. You know, vacations are wonderful. Love going away. Loving recharging the batteries. So happy Valentine's Day to all of you, and it is great to be back. Hey, we started a new series of messages while I was gone. Don kicked this off a couple weeks ago, asking this question: how can you stand firm for God? It's a study on the book of Daniel. Now, maybe many of you here this morning, you know, you've been in church and around things of faith for a long time, and you know the story of Daniel, and you've read the story of Daniel, you know, and it's very familiar to you. That's awesome. There's probably some of you here this morning that you've never heard this story. So over the next few more weeks, and we started 2 weeks ago, today's number three, we're asking this question: how can you stand firm for God? Because I think that that's the overall message that Daniel teaches us. So I want to thank Don McClune. I want to thank Alex Hildebrand for filling in the last couple weeks. Yeah, they did. Don kicked this off talking about how to stand out for God. Okay, I mean, how to live the kind of faith that shows the world that you not only believe in God, but that you live for Him. And the way that you live for Him shows that. Last week, Alex, who, by the way, I don't know if that was the first time he'd ever stood up and preached. I know that he'd talked and taught some to different classes. But I've heard that he did a really, really good job. Did you know that his future in-laws were here? That had to be frightening. I don't know. That would have scared me to death, okay? But I heard that he did a really good job. I'm looking forward to hearing both those messages this week sometime. But he talked to you about how to stand up for what is right. Stand out, stand up. And today we're going to add to that, and we're going to talk about standing for, and specifically standing for what matters most. Because this story of Daniel in the lion's den, you know, not the cute, cuddly lines that we hear about in the little child's Sunday school room, you know, but this marvelous story that tells about this strong man who was able to stand out and who was able to stand up and stand for what mattered most. Now, Daniel chapter 6 is where we are today, and it gives us this story of what transpired and happened with Daniel. Let's pick it up in verse number 1 of Daniel 6. It says, "It pleased Darius," that was the king, "to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself." Now listen, here's the sentence that describes the kind of character that Daniel had. "Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom." Let me ask you a question. Did you ever see the movie The Hunger Games? You know, it's this marvelous story. If you've seen it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you haven't seen it, you know, it might be a little bit confusing to you. But basically, they'd throw all these young people into an area, and they had to be the last one standing. I kind of feel that way with this story. You got these 120, you've got these three, and they were kind of in competition with each other to impress the king. See, if you've seen that movie, you kind of know what I'm talking about. And it says that Daniel, by his exceptional qualities, stood out to the king so much that the king said, "I'm going to make him ruler over the entire kingdom." Think about that. How do you get to that kind of quality of a person? How do you become the kind of person that stands out like that? How do you become the kind of person who doesn't compromise, who doesn't lay down the things that he's passionate about? He doesn't give up on his faith. He doesn't undercut other people. He doesn't build himself up by tearing other people down. He doesn't do things that are underhanded or illegal to impress the king. He just does things in such a quality kind of way that he stands out. I submit to you this morning that when we read this story together, and we're going to continue it here in just a few minutes, some principles that are going to jump out about Daniel that makes it pretty plain how he was able to do this. So here's what I want to do this morning. I want to share with you some principles. Some principles that Daniel lived by. Some things that he never laid down. He never compromised. He didn't turn his back on ever. That enabled him to stand up and to stand for the things that mattered most. All right, let me give you the first principle. The first one that I see here is the principle of up and down. You know, life's kind of like that, isn't it? Goes up, goes down. Gets good, becomes bad. Things are great, things are tough. Things are joyful. Things are sad. Times are sad. You know, Daniel learned this principle of up and down in a really interesting kind of way. You know, think about it. There's times in life that you're excited about life and even about faith. There's times that you're excited about where your life's going, the projection of your future. There's times when you feel so blessed. There's times when ministry seems so good. And then there's other times that things are just the opposite of that. Listen, pick up this story in verse number 4. It says, "At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of governing affairs. But they were unable to do so. And they could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. These men said, 'We will never find any basis for charges against this man unless it has something to do with the laws or the law of his God.'" Think about this, folks. It's the principle of up and down. When you want to do something good, the devil's going to send somebody to knock you down. Somebody to oppose you. Somebody to give an opposite point of view. Somebody to stand up and say that you don't know what you're talking about and you don't know what's best and that your character isn't nearly as good as it seems to be. And when Daniel stood out to the king, there was all of this opposition, these other people that came and started to put him down. Let me tell you something, folks. If you're not ready to face opposition because of your obedience to God, you're not ready to be used by God. Daniel teaches us here this principle of up and down. There are two other administrators. They buttered up the king. They bragged to the king. They lied to the king and caused the king to issue a law that said that if anyone in the next 30 days prays to any other god other than him, that they would be thrown into the lion's den. Now let me ask you a question, folks. What should Daniel do? Or better, what will he do? Or even more to the point, what will we do? Or what do we do when we're faced with these kinds of dilemmas? I mean, will he stop praying? Will he simply pray in secret because to do so publicly would get him in trouble? Would he keep praying and risk death? Arlene and I, when we were away, we visited this one place and it told about this Jewish settlement, about these Jewish people that had come and settled there. And when they did, they pretended to be Christian so that they wouldn't face opposition. But in secret, they continued to practice their Judaism. I thought that was interesting. You know, in the New Testament, in John chapter 3, you read about a man named Nicodemus who came to Jesus at night. There's all these things about our faith, you know, that we rationalize and say, okay, if it's going to get me in trouble, then I stop, or I'll do it in secret. Daniel could not do that. I mean, what could he do? What will he do? Will he keep praying and risk death? I mean, think about it. How did he have such audacious faith? How did he stand strong with that kind of opposition? He understood the principle of up and down, even though everyone else was trying to bring him down. His faith continued to propel him upward and onward in obedience to God. That's the first principle. The second principle that Daniel's life illustrates and demonstrates for us is the principle that I want to call the principle of pray and stand. I mean, think about this. What gave Daniel the strength to stand for what he knew was right? The thing that gave him the strength to stand was his willingness to kneel. Look at verse number 10. It says, "Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. And three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before." Look at this. He got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God three times a day. He probably did it in the morning when nobody else was around. He did it at midday when everybody was looking. And he did it when everybody was on their way home after their day was over. And it says that he did it every day, three times a day, just as he had done before. You see, folks, our response to problems, first of all, should never be to panic. It should be to pray. And how can we pray in the face of that kind of opposition? Think about it. Daniel, he didn't announce it. He just did it. Daniel did exactly as Jesus described in the Sermon on the Mount when he told the people, he said, when you pray, don't do it like the hypocrites who stand on the street corner so they can be seen of men. Daniel didn't announce it. He just simply did it. He was faithful to prayer. Folks, there's something about that kind of humility before God. I mean, think about it. How did he stand? He stood strong before men because he had the humility to kneel before God. When life gives you more than you can stand, what do? You kneel. You kneel before God and seek strength from him. I mean, when the doctor comes back and uses the C word, I mean, our first response should be to kneel before our God and ask for his strength and help and comfort and care. I mean, when things just don't seem to make sense and there doesn't seem to be enough money to make the ends meet, maybe the first thing that we should do is ask for God to give us strength and to help us to provide for our loved ones and our families. I mean, when something is going on that is difficult with our children, what's the first response that we should have? It should be to go to the Lord and to pray and to kneel before him and ask for strength. Folks, I think it's so amazing here when you think about these principles that guided Daniel's life. Do they guide your life? Do they guide my life? I mean, when I pray, what causes me to go to my knees? Do I understand the principles of up and down? That when I try to go up, that the devil's going to send someone who will try to knock me down. When I have a hard time and I desire to stand, is the first thing that I do is kneel before God? You see, there's a third principle here that I think Daniel illustrates in his life so wonderfully. And it's the principle that I want to refer to as the principle of right and results. Now, this is a very interesting thing here because we know how this story ends. And not all stories end this way. I mean, do you ever feel like that you've been thrown into the lion's den and you don't use them as a pillow, you wake up devoured by them? I mean, sometimes we don't get the happy ending. Sometimes we don't ride off into the sunset. Sometimes the girl doesn't jump up on the white horse with us and ride off into bliss together. You see, Daniel understood the principle of right and results. Sometimes we don't get what we want. You know, it's like the young bride that I was talking to one day, and I was congratulating them on their wedding, and she began to tell me how they'd been blessed, and she said that they had registered at this place and this place and this place. And I said, "That's wonderful. Did you get everything that you had registered for?" And she said, "Well, we got everything that we registered for, except the one thing we wanted the most." Isn't that life? You know, you get all the spatulas and all the can openers and all the whatever, but you don't get the one thing that you want more than anything else. Life's that way a lot, isn't it? We get everything except that one thing that eludes us. We never get. See, Daniel teaches us how we should respond that way, this understanding of doing what's right and getting the right results, because a lot of times that's not how it happens. Think about this. Daniel was faithful to God, and God had been faithful to him for 80 years. And throughout all those years, serving to this king in a foreign land, David had always been faithful to God. Think about this. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. And there were very two distinct things went on that first night. There was Daniel, and then there was, I'm going to call him King D, okay? King Darius. And King Darius had thrown Daniel in the lion's den, even though he didn't really want to. If you read the story, it's pretty clear that you know, he had issued this decree. These men had come against Daniel and accused him of this and seemed to prove their case. And Darius seemed like that he had no other course of action to take but to throw Daniel in the lion's den. Can you imagine what his night was like? You know, knowing that this guy, this one that he was so impressed by, this one that he was so proud of, this person that he wanted to put so much power and authority into his hands, and he knew that he was going to become basically an hors d'oeuvre during the night. It had to be a very restless night because he was going to lose this person. And then you got Daniel, who's in the lion's den. It's probably dark. He can probably feel the breath of the hungry lions. And every time one passes, he had to wonder if that was going to be the last living thing that he was ever around. It's interesting, though, what happened there. And if you look in verse number 22, it picks it up. And it says, "My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me. I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. It's so interesting because Daniel knew that God could deliver him, but his faithfulness was not determined by if God delivered him. His faithfulness to God was something that was strong. Unequivocal, not movable, not being able to be taken from him. And even if God did not spare him, he was still going to be faithful. You see, it wasn't that he was faithful when he left the lion's den because he'd been spared. He was faithful as he went into the lion's den. But he knew that God could, but he also knew that maybe God would not. Now, we know this story. The king calls the guys who falsely accused Daniel. He throws them into the pit. And he issues a decree that everyone in the kingdom should fear the God of Daniel. Now, here's the final point that I want to make with you, and hopefully you'll take with you today. It's really easy to just think about this story and the way that you heard it as a child. Right? You remember? I mean, I remember so clearly when I was a youngster in First Christian Church in Pennington Gap, Virginia, Marguerite Jones. You know, and she had her flannel graph, and she put on her flannel graph, and she put the rocks, and she put the kind of the cave. I always wondered, I thought, you know what, that lion's den cave to me looked like the same cave that they buried Jesus in the New Testament. I think it was. But what was different is that she would put the little figure, she would put Daniel there, and she would have these little flannel lions. And she would talk about and she would illustrate how Daniel was put into the lion's den. We always talk about how he was threw into the lion's den and how he was able to use the lions as a fluffy pillow. But let me tell you something, folks. This is not a story just for children. Because I think the way that we tell it to our children, that even though we don't mean it to be, that we can miss the most important things about this story. And it's the principles by which Daniel was able to live and to teach us and to show us by how he lived his life before the king, how he served the king without compromising his love and faith in God, and how he was faithful to God even in the face of such horrendous opposition. And then finally, as he was thrown into the lion's den and how God delivered him from that. I implore you, I beg you, I try, I'm hopefully going to teach you this morning to look at this story not from the child's point of view of Daniel surviving a lion's den, but using this story to allow God to teach you how to live in your den of lions. Because you know what I think is really true? That Daniel spent a night in the lion's den. But really all of life is lived in the den of lions. I mean, do you think the lions that Daniel overcame in that den was any different than the other administrators and the satraps who had accused him and opposed him, and how was against him, and how he survived and thrived because he understood the principle of up and down, that even though people tried to knock him down, he always got back up. He always went forward. He always remained faithful to God in everything that he did. The principle of praying and standing, that I will be able to stand because I kneel, that the strength that I get from prayer will help me to stand against those that are in opposition to not only my God, but also in opposition to me. That the principle of right and results, that if I do what is right, that I will get the results that are desired. But that even in the end, I may not be rescued. I may not get exactly what I want. But my faithfulness will be determined not by the result, but by my relationship with Him. Oh no, this is much more a story for us in our den of lions than it is a Sunday school story for little children downstairs. You see, when God raises you up, people tear you down. Understand that kneeling to pray gives you strength to stand and do what's right. Trust God with the results. Because I think what really is the key here is to understand the heart and the mind and soul of the Apostle Paul when he said that our fight is not against flesh and blood. But our fight is against the things of the air. And it's the devil and everything and everybody that he uses to try to tear down our faith in God. Daniel was able to stand because he knew that, and he lived by these principles. May we live by them as well. Would you bow your heads? Pray with me, please. Father in heaven, God, I pray that all of us here this morning, every person, Lord, in this room, that we would see the story of Daniel in the den of lions as so much more than just a story to tell with our children on our knees. But God, may we know that we face the den of lions every day, that life itself is really all of that. And I pray, Lord, that the same principles that strengthened Daniel as he faced such things would strengthen us today. And God, may we live that way, faithful and trusting in you, not because of any result, but Lord, because of your long-standing faithfulness throughout life. And God, I just pray this morning for every person in this room as we sing about your greatness, about your love, about your compassion for all of us. May we know God, and may we live in such a way that shows the whole world that we stand for what is right, what is good, what is honorable in you. Lord, we love you, and may this song and may our prayers and the outpouring of our spirit into your hands, may, Lord, encourage all of us to live for you today and for every day. In Jesus' holy name we pray.